Broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And a great good day to you. It's going to be another gorgeous one in Hawaii with mostly sunny skies, a few windward and mauka showers drifting over the city, and the trades, a beautiful 10 to 20 miles an hour. Those are our natural trade winds. Enjoy a day on the course. If you'd like to play around Volcano on the Big Island, whether it's 56 lovely degrees, 948 and 1030, and Kapolei sold out, but the Mixed Nuts are going out, that's the group. And may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Our first guest this morning is John Huggan, European correspondent for Golf Digest and Golf World, golf correspondent for Scotland on Sunday, oh my goodness, editor-at-large for Golf Australia, columnist for New Zealand Golf Magazine. I don't know how he has the time to do all of this. Plus, he's either written or ghost-written 8 books, the ones at least that I could find. He'll be our first guest, but first let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With this much traffic, you should ride in comfort. Introducing the Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Jam. And Star Protection. Get your property threat and risk assessment, then protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
And John Huggan, based in Dunbar, Scotland, the European correspondent for the leading magazines, including Golf Digest and Golf World. Welcome to the show.
Nice to be with you.
Absolutely. I want to talk to you about the state of the European Tour, U.S. Open at Marion. Will you be there?
I will, yeah. I leave on Monday morning.
Excellent. The second LPGA major of the year is underway, and I find it interesting how few U.K. female golfers there are, and you were for a long time a writer of instruction guides and instruction books. But let's start off with rules violations lately. It seems like this week has been unusually quiet. We're talking about golf and not some mistake somebody's made somewhere. But it seemed like week after week we were talking about, oh, I don't know, the most recent was the metal spikes that Lee Jansen used. The veteran DQ'd from the U.S. Open qualifying. Stacey Lewis, caddy, tested the sand with his feet. Michael Allen brushed pine cones out of the way. They were embedded, which was against the rules. Jeff Overton in Fort Worth practicing with a training aid while waiting his turn. He was told to practice, but they didn't say use a training aid. What do you make of all of this?
Well, I'm kind of losing patience with all of this stuff, especially, you know, when it comes to things like the mental spikes thing was just the kind of final straw for me. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, what has that got to do with golf, really? I mean, there's no advantage gained. There's no advantage, you know. The player isn't trying to seek any advantage. So why are we disqualifying people for such nonsense? It's a bit beggar's belief as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, but it was in the local rules. It was stated specifically in the rules that he wasn't supposed to use metal spikes.
Yes, I know. I mean, and I'm not defending. I mean, I take the point that the players should be reading these things. I know they don't. They all should. But what is a rule like that doing in there anyway? I mean, for goodness sake. I mean, what difference is that really going to make? And plus, when they tee up in Marion this week in the US Open, they're entitled to use metal spikes. So why not in the qualifying?
So they couldn't use it in the qualifying, but they can use it. Is that because the golf course they were qualifying on didn't allow those spikes to be used because of damage they do?
Yes, it's a local rule at the club they were using. Yeah. So, but I think if a club wants to be a qualifying course for a national championship like the U.S. Open, I think the rules must be standardized from beginning to end. It doesn't make much sense to me. I'm not sure how you feel about it, but to have different rules for the qualifying than you have in the actual championship itself.
No, I see your point. Absolutely. I just wish the guys would, like, read the rules.
Well, I agree with you there. I mean, the Dustin Johnson thing 2 or 3 years ago is the famous example of that. But, you know, tour pros are tour pros. I mean, you know what they're like. The world revolves around them, and they're lazy, and there's a great sense of entitlement there for most of them. So they're not going to put themselves out by reading a sheet of paper that's handed to them on the first tee.
Good point. Good point. They're caddy. They should hand it off to the caddy.
Yes, that is a good point. I mean, that struck me with a couple of Tiger things this year. The thing at the Masters where he dropped the ball in the wrong place, and then the thing again at the Players' Championship.
Right.
And to me, it begs the question of, not specifically, obviously Joe LaCava is the one we're talking about in this case, but I think it's generally true of most caddies, is that they don't know the rules either. And I think that should be part of their job requirement, is at least a basic knowledge of the, let's face it, there's only about 6 or 7 rules that you really need to know. I mean, the rest of it, that's 99% of, you know, things, that covers 99% of things that are going to happen. 1 in a million, you know, fair enough. But the caddies don't seem to know what's going on as far as the rules are concerned, and I think that they should be tested as much as the players.
Yeah. Well, with Tiger Woods, not only did he have the 2 drop issues, there was the sand issue in Abu Dhabi on the European Tour stop, right? When he...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm a bit more forgiving of that one. That was a pretty obscure rule. I mean, I think I certainly wouldn't have picked up on that one, but it was another journalist actually pointed out to one of the rules officials, and only then did it become clear that Tiger had broken the rule. But again, as I say, I've got a little bit more sympathy for that one. A little bit more obscure than just a basic where to drop rule.
Yeah, yeah. And what do you think of the journalists and the television viewers and the rules officials calling in the violations?
Well, where do they get the phone number? That's what I want to know. And where is this phone number? I've never been. Even if I wanted to call in, I don't think I'd be able to. I wouldn't know who to call.
I know.
So if I was them, I'd just go X directory. That'd be the simple solution.
Okay, let's go to slow play. Okay, because slow play, Jeff Overton in Fort Worth, he's practicing because he's the third group waiting for the group on the tee to play or to finish the hole. It's stacked back 3, right? And Guan Tianlong, he's assessed a penalty for slow play at the Masters. It kind of brings us to the eternity it seems to be taking to finish these rounds of golf the professionals are playing. And I don't understand why they decide to penalize the group. Why can't they single out the individuals? What's your solution for slow play?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, the slow play is... the old line is that, you know, it's like the weather, everyone talks about it, but no one does anything about it. They've got to start penalising them shots. I mean, it's really that simple. But the rules need to change. The rules at the moment are, you know, the players themselves make the rules on the tours, but they're unenforceable, which is probably the biggest problem. I mean, the rules officials are, you know, their hands are behind their backs when it comes to actually applying the rules. I mean, we saw how... You mentioned the Chinese lad at the Masters. I mean, he was penalised not because he was slow, but because he wasn't cynical enough to speed up once he'd been told he was slow.
He wasn't cynical enough.
He didn't know how the system worked. I mean, I've seen many professionals, and I know that I can name 2 or 3, that which I won't do on the air, but I could name you 2 or 3 that have got 2 different pre-shot routines. They've got their normal pre-shot routine that takes forever, and they've got another one that takes half as the time when they're actually on the clock. And when the referee goes away after a couple of holes, they go back to pre-shot routine 1 and go back to being just as slow. So until that cynicism is removed, or that as an option,
yeah,
nothing is ever going to change, sadly.
Interesting. Let's go to the state of the European Tour. The question was raised in one article I read, is it a stepping stone or a destination?
Well, it's always been a... For the very best players, it's always been somewhere leaning towards a stepping stone, I would argue. It's a destination for most. And I've never understood why the European Tour, especially now, doesn't get into bed with the Asian Tour and One Asia, whoever is involved in Asia, and create a world tour for everywhere except the United States. I mean, if everyone was really working for the good of the game, as they all claim to be, from Mr. Fincham to Mr. O'Grady and all the rest of them around the world, they always claim to be working for the good of golf and all the rest of it, but they're not really. They're working for the good of their own organisation, because if they were working for the good of the game, we would have a world tour. and different divisions. We'd have people get promotion and relegation from the World Tour to there'd be a European section, a USA section, an Asian section, and all the rest of it. That, to me, would be exciting and different and fun to watch. But now we've got a situation where it's dog-eat-dog, and the PGA Tour, the biggest and the best tour, the most, and certainly most financially rewarding, and they often bully the other tours, who are just as guilty. I mean, the European Tour bully tours smaller than they are, so they're just as guilty as the PGA Tour, but the PGA Tour is the biggest, and they set the example for the rest.
Well, for a while there, when the euro economy was stronger than the U.S. economy, there was some talk, you know, that the European Tour was going to be coming on strong and dominating. And then it seems to be based on, you know, where the money is. And right now, the U.S. economy is pretty strong versus the European economy. So right now, the PGA Tour is stronger. Do you see the European Tour getting stronger as your economy increases?
Well, the biggest problem that the European Tour has is not financial, as big as the problem that is at the moment. The biggest for the very, very best players, they're the ones who are playing for history more than the money. The fact is that, as you know, there's three major championships out of the four are based in the United States. I mean, if we were starting golf over tomorrow, I'm sure that wouldn't be the case, but it's the fact that it is right now. And if you're one of the, you know, elite or aspire to at least to be one of the elite players, that's where you're going to play. I mean, and that's the biggest problem the European Tour's got.
And then you've got the World Golf Championships, and all three or four are based in the United States.
Well, they're a disgrace. I mean, they don't even live up to their name. I mean, it's nonsense that so many of them are again based in the United States. I mean, that has more to do with money than anything else. But as I say, the biggest problem is the guys who play for history, the Sevies and the Nick Faldos and those guys. They're inevitably going to gravitate towards America because that's where three of the four majors are played.
And why is that? I mean, golf started in Europe, and here we are dominating in the United States with majors. How did that happen?
Well, the number of majors, has always been, if you take it, the number has always been four, but the identity of the majors has changed over time. I mean, I remember a great piece that Dan Jenkins wrote in Golf Digest years ago where we went through history and we identified, you know, tournaments that had been majors, if you like, at certain points in time. The Western Open was one in the United States, and the British PGA Match Play was identified as another one. That was the biggest tournament in Great Britain other than the Open, maybe 100 years ago. So the winners of that, and we came up with a list of guys who'd won majors in inverted commas, you know, through history, and it looked very different from the one that we have today. And the other downside of the three out of the four, it's not so bad now because the young up-and-coming European players, if you get into the top 50 in the world, you get to play in all the majors. But the previous generation, I always cite the group of four that I cite for this, is the Sam Torns, Howard Clark, Mark James and Ken Brown, who basically didn't get to play in majors other than our Open every year. They played in very, very few over the course of their career. And history has not been kind to them because you're not going to tell me that those four players were in any way inferior to the likes of Bob Tway and Larry Mize and Jeff Sluman, guys who popped up and won a major in the States simply because the opportunity was there for them. But that same opportunity was not afforded the guys who were maybe half a step down from Nick Faldo and Seve and Woosnam. Mm-hmm. And all the rest of the European stars of the previous generation. So I always feel sorry for those guys.
Did travel have to do with that? The cost of traveling to the States?
Well, they weren't exempt. I mean, they didn't have the opportunity to play. I mean, if you go back as recently as 1980, when Seve won his first Masters, there were four Europeans in the field, and one of them was an amateur. It's not that long ago that the American majors invited the top one from the Open Championship.
All right.
It's only a very recent thing that they've opened up, and they've done a great job. You know, basically all the problems that Seve had with the PGA Tour in the 1980s, all the things Seve was asking for, are the things that are reality today.
Well, progress.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely progress, but yeah. The previous generation suffered.
Let's switch now to, you know, in the United States, we've got like a 50% drop in junior golf participation over the last couple of years. And I was just going through with the second LPGA major of the year, the Wegmans LPGA Championship underway. I was thinking of you and the UK in John. I'm bunching everybody up together. You know, there's Ian Poulter and Luke Donald and Lee Westwood and Harrington and McIlroy and McDowell and Lowry and Gallagher and Ramsey and Laird and Jameson, and they're all great players in the top 100, right? And they're all from the UK. But I was looking for women, and we've got Karen Stubbles, Laura Davies, Katrina Matthew. Then I have to go back to Maureen Mavel. Is that how we pronounce her name? It just seems like we have such a small amount of women representing the UK. Why is that?
Well, it's reflective of, there's many reasons for it. I think the biggest problem is the golf club culture. I mean, I've got, my daughter is actually in the next room here. She's 20 years old, and I took her to the driving range the other day just to have her hit balls for the first time in a year. And she's got a great swing, and she hits the ball, you know, perfectly and, you know, enjoys it to an extent. But she's got nobody to play with. And the golf clubs, generally speaking, I'm not being too specific on this, but generally speaking, they're not welcoming the young girls. I mean, that's why so few play. I mean, they don't always want to play with the boys, you know, or are good enough to play with the boys. And my daughter's typical, and I think she probably is. There's a golfer, a prospective golfer, that the game is lost simply because of, you know, the culture and it's just not a welcoming environment for people like her, sadly.
So for girls in the UK, it's difficult to find a place for girls to play.
Well, it's difficult to find places. It's not difficult to find a place to play. It's a place to play that is welcoming and has other girls,
right,
know, that you can play with.
Right, I mean, and to a girl, that's one and the same.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up at a little municipal course in Scotland and played with a bunch of lads that were all the same age, and we sometimes played three or four rounds in a day. And, you know, it was fun because there was a group of us and it was competitive and we all got better together. But there was no girls.
Right.
Not one.
Would you have wanted one to join you?
I don't know. My thinking on that had evolved.
Yes, you think.
At age, I probably not. I would imagine, yeah.
No, right. You know, let's see. I was reading your bio, you know, and it says, in a long ago past life, John Huggan was the 1978 Scottish boys champion, representing his country at boys, youths, and full international level, runner-up in both the 1981 British Youths Championship and the 1983 Scottish Amateur Championship, quarterfinal at the 1985 British Amateur, and in 1984, one of the teammates was that promising youngster, Colin Montgomery. You played on the same team together.
We did, yes, a long time ago now. But I think you must be talking about somebody else. It doesn't sound like me at all, that.
But you're, wait a minute. All right, but you're also, in a former life, you were the senior editor in charge of instruction of Golf Digest for 8 years. And you've written and ghostwritten, like, David Ledbetter's first two books, The Swing, A Golf Swing and Faults and Fixes, and Golf for Dummies with Gary McCord and Hank Haney, The Only Golf Lesson You'll Ever Need and No More Bad Shots. I had no idea the first time we spoke that you've been writing golf books with these guys. In fact, I couldn't find your credit at Golf for Dummies, which I think most people should pick up.
Well, I think that's probably one of the biggest reasons, all those things you just mentioned, that's probably one of the biggest reasons why my golf's so bad these days. I've been confused by all these different messages.
Nice one. So what do you recommend as a golfer? And I know on Twitter you can follow John Huggan at John Huggan. It's as simple as that. It's spelled H-U-G-G-A-N, John Huggan. You say on your Twitter account something, I can't remember the last time I hit a good shot, something to that effect?
Well, it's been a while. I must admit, it's also been a while since I've played more than 10 rounds of golf in a year, I think. So I haven't had a handicap in more than a decade. So I'm suffering from terminal neglect more than anything, I think.
Yeah, you don't have time. You work the game. You don't play the game.
basically, as well as you know, it's one of the great ironies of working in golf is that you don't play very much golf.
So. All right. Yeah, somebody invited me out to play golf and said they kept asking me how good I was, and I kept telling them I'm not, and they kept saying, well, you must be, and I said I'm not, and they thought I was being, you know, self-deprecating, and I was horrible. But
well, it's certainly true that there's not too many of the golf writers. There's some decent players, but most of them are veering more towards bad than good, I would argue.
Okay, which one of the books, can you recommend one for us to start with?
Oh, I'm not going to do that. That would upset too many people.
They're all your babies.
Yes.
That's how you say it. It's like when an architect is asked, which is your favorite golf course? He says, oh, they're all my babies. John Huggins.
I would make the point that they're not my books. They were somebody else's books that I into English for them. That was all.
Oh, okay. That's a good point. Good point. But there was one that didn't you write one yourself?
Well, I kind of did. I mean, I was credited on it. The How the Curious Life Forever. But
yeah, that one.
That was lifted from. There was 90% was just pieces from Golf Digest.
Okay.
I take no credit for that.
John Huggin, thanks so much for being on the show. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
My pleasure. Nice to speak to you.
We'll be back right after this with Jack Peter. He's the COO of the World Golf Hall of Fame. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
The 2014 Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Go test drive this car at Acura Honolulu, 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. I want a tight turning radius. You'll get that in the Acura RLX. I want a responsive engine. You'll get that in the Acura RLX. And a smooth, quiet ride down Ala Moana Boulevard. You'll get that. It's so good on the nerves on Honolulu streets. But don't take my word. Test drive the 2014 Acura RLX. Call for an overnight test drive. You heard right. Call General Sales Manager TJ Jones for your appointment to visit Acura of Honolulu. Your time's valuable. Book it. Call 942-4555. Meet with TJ and the RLX expert. There is so much to Acura's RLX where luxury meets high tech. Acura's flagship sedan. Take it home. Keep it overnight. See how it fits in your life. You heard right. Acura of Honolulu will wash and vacuum your current car while you're experiencing the Acura RLX. And when you bring it back, find out when you can take your Acura RLX or RLX Advance home. The number is 808-942-4555. His name is TJ. The car is the Acura RLX. It's an amazing car, and I'm not easily amazed.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose? That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the Golf Club.
And I recommend you go to the demo day at Lelehua on Oahu or Pukalani on Maui and Ask the Experts. That's Lelehua on Oahu and Pukalani, and at Lelehua, Lou Merkel is celebrating his birthday. Don't forget to go up and say happy birthday, Lou. Let's welcome to the show Jack Peter. He's the COO of the World Golf Hall of Fame. Welcome, Jack. May I call you
Daniel,
Jack?
How are you?
Good, thank you. I'm just so pleased that you're on the show with me this morning. I want to ask you lots of questions, but the first thing I want to do is ask you, are you going to Marion?
Yes.
You are?
Yes.
Oh, I understand it's is it drama, comedy, and tragedy? Four holes, or, you know, the first section, drama?
Well, Danielle, the truth is I've never been to Marion, so it'll be my first trip, but I have heard the last five, six holes are all of that. Comedy, drama, train wrecks, all of it. So I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait to see it on television. I just the ravine on the 18th
right.
hole that carry right. 250 yards.
Yeah.
In my dreams. Okay. When you get ready to go to an event like this, how do you travel? You're going to drive up there? You're going to fly up there?
No. I'll fly into Philadelphia. The World Golf Hall of Fame, the nearest airport to that is Jacksonville, Florida. So it's a pretty short flight up the Eastern Seaboard into Philadelphia, and Marion is located. Marion is a suburb in Ardmore, Pennsylvania, just outside of Philadelphia. So, you know, it'll take a couple hours and,
enjoy it.
Of course, Monday afternoon, and hopefully, I mean, they're fighting a little bit of rain, I think, in the forecast, but it should be nice.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So if anybody wants, if you're going, it's Philadelphia, guys. Fly in, okay, and have,
right.
have a good time. Okay. I wanted to talk to you, and I made the huge mistake of, and now you're here. So we're going to go over some of the things that were burning questions at the time of the induction ceremony, and it's never too late or too soon to ask you these questions, and I think I know the answers, but I still need to ask you. You know,
okay.
All right. First of all, is 51% of the vote really enough to get you into the World Golf Hall of Fame? That really bothered me. I mean, I love Freddie Couples. You know, Colin Montgomery, great guy. But 51%
right.
of the vote just seems very low. Shouldn't it be higher than that?
Well, there's been obviously a lot of speculation, a lot of discussion in the media about that, Danielle. But we are... The process that has been set up has been in existence, I think, for 13 or 14 years. And, we are pleased with it. Should it be higher? Maybe. I mean, but at the end of the day, it's a vote. It's not so much the regulations, but the way the criteria and the way it is set up, you know, the person who gets more than 50% gets in. So, you know, the question really is, you know, they both are very deserving. They're both Hall of Fame worthy, so I tend not to worry so much about the percentage as I do about the person coming in. And clearly, both of these guys are Hall of Famers.
All right. Of course, Colin Montgomery never won a major, but eight order of merits, obviously. You know, a huge success on the Ryder Cup, 31 European Tour titles, never on the PGA Tour, but maybe that'll change with the Champions Tour. The other thing that I have a real problem with is these guys are still playing. Why are they in the Hall of Fame? They're too young.
No, we love that. Love that part. Because, frankly, they never retire. Arnold Palmer still plays at certain events. Gary Player still tees it up occasionally.
Yeah, but
if we wait too long, they would be in their 90s.
Yeah, and with Ken Venturi, there's an interesting balance between what's too young. I just think 43, wasn't Ernie Els 43 or 44?
Right.
That just seems way too young to be in the World Golf Hall of Fame. I love the World Golf Hall of Fame. The idea, and, you know, watching Freddie Couples break down, but he's too young to me, you know? I mean, he's only 50.
We're comfortable with the age, Danielle.
Okay.
It's become sort of an amusing debate.
All right.
But the fact is, everywhere Ernie Els goes now, he's introduced on the tee box as World Golf Hall of Fame member Bernie Els. And, you know, selfishly, from an awareness perspective, from trying to drive the brand awareness around the world, I don't think that hurts us at all. And I think that it's nice for them to carry the mantra wherever they go.
All right. Now I'm going to take it one step further, okay? When you had the World Golf Hall of Fame induction ceremony, the only four, you know, current World Golf Hall of Famers who showed up were LPGA women.
No, that's right. That's right.
And it makes me feel like the guys are taking it for granted or not giving it enough credence or something. They don't have enough respect for the fact that they're in the World Golf Hall of Fame. They should be showing up. Why, you know, are they getting
in? I think this year was an anomaly. I think you'll see the guys come back, over, you know, starting next year and over the years. I think there were a number of scheduling issues, you know, that we don't really get into. But, you know, I can tell you for a fact it means a great deal to all of them. And we need to look at the process. It could be a scheduling issue. It could be a lot of different things. But I think they will come back, and I think their support to date has been very good. It's an unfortunate turn of events this year that they couldn't be here.
Okay. All right. Do you think it'll stay? It seems to me that since it was at the Players' Championship, at the PGA Tour's Players' Championship, they were all there anyway. I mean, you know, so they showed up on Monday for an event. It wasn't going to, like, mess up their lives.
That's right. I mean, and the issue, not the issue, but, you know, there's current players who are competing in the Players' Championship. You know, that's one discussion. The other discussion are the current Hall of Fame members who are not eligible to compete in the Players. So, you know, I don't know. There were comments made after the show throughout the Players' Championship week that we are going to look collectively at the Players' Championship and the Hall of Fame and the induction ceremony and all of our partners, you know, to see how we can maximize it and make it more convenient and, you know, and hopefully get more guys come back.
That would be fabulous. Do you think you'll move the ceremony from where it's held now to another place, a different day of the year?
I don't at this point, Danielle. I know Commissioner Fincham mentioned we're going to take a look at that, and we have been, but I don't see it changing anytime soon.
Okay. All right. How is someone put on the ballot? I know the LPGA, they have a point system. And, you know, it's unless you have a number of points and you've met the criteria, you're not going to get into the World Golf Hall of Fame. But that's not the case for the PGA Tour players, the men.
Right. The men qualify to be placed on both the PGA Tour and the international ballot. And the simple explanation is it is a combination of tournament victories, major championships, their length of time on a particular tour, which is 10 years, and then your favorite part, you have to be 40.
Yeah, the young thing, yes, okay, fine.
So, you know, once all of that occurs, you automatically get placed on the ballot, which is great. I mean, it's one honor to be on the ballot. It's another honor to actually get the call and come into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and who gets to vote?
Well, the voting body is made up of predominantly golf media around the world, but in addition to that, all the living Hall of Fame members, our board of directors, we have an advisory board of 26 or 27 people that represent the different allied associations around the world. So it's a fairly robust body.
Okay. Some of them are pretty outspoken, too. Bernard Langer was pretty outspoken. He thought that Marco Mira or Davis Love III ought to... He didn't say Freddie Couples shouldn't be in, but they ought to be in, right? Are they on the ballot yet?
Yeah. Well, my favorite phrase, Danielle, it's not no, it's not yet.
It's not no, it's not yet. Okay.
That's right.
All right.
You know, Marco Mira, you know, Davis Love, you know, I think that the process needs to play itself out. And Ian Woosnam on the international side, I mean, there's a lot of names out there, and it really is a case of, you know, it's not no, it's just not yet.
Okay, I got it. On the other hand, see, here I am complaining about the 40 thing, you know, 40. They just started at 40, you know, life just starts. But there's the too old, you know, you can't, Mike, it was so sad with Ken Venturi being, I was wonderful.
It was sad. It was too bad he passed, you know, the week after the ceremony. But, you know, he knew it was a big, big part of the last 6 or 8 months of his life. And he knew he was coming in, and it was great that he knew, and he was able to celebrate it in a number of different ways, even though he wasn't able to be at the ceremony.
Yeah.
So, it was sad.
Yeah, that's why, you know, some of the people who are getting into their early 70s or late 60s, you know, we need to get them in sooner, sooner rather than later. See, I'm a real hard nut here, right? I'm telling you, older and younger. What are you going to do with me?
It's okay. It's okay. We'll keep talking.
Okay. The next thing I got on my list here is the thing about having an active player in the Hall of Fame is when they get in trouble, it's kind of weird, you know? Like, here's the Hall of Fame member, Vijay Singh, getting in trouble. It's just strange. And that's one of the reasons why I find putting them in to the Hall of Fame when they're still very active players and you know, still finding themselves. Vijay Singh, in my estimate, he's a great guy. He works hard. Don't know him personally, so I don't know, you know, all the character and all that stuff, but he works hard. That's what I see. He doesn't want to admit that he's getting older. He's going to do everything he can to stay young. But he really took a hit with what he did with the deer antler spray. And he's a Hall of Fame member, you know.
Right.
That was a problem. That's one of the reasons why I would prefer not having a young guy who's still finding his way.
when we redo our advisory board, I will call you back, and we'll get your list of opinions.
We'll have fun. All right, here's another one. All right, I want Ben Wright to be put on the ballot. I want him to be forgiven for what he said to somebody off the record. He actually said something that a lot of people thought in their mind at the time, because that was just the way people thought back then. People change. They realize, you know, about the physical aspects of a player. It's all that stuff. Ben Wright is a great guy. He's an architect.
Oh, he is a good guy.
He is a great guy. Can we forgive him?
He was at the ceremony last month.
And what are the chances of Ben Wright getting on the ballot?
Well, Ben Wright, his avenue into the Hall of Fame, Danielle, would probably most likely be through the Lifetime Achievement for his contributions to the game, in his broadcast career, etc.
Uh-huh.
So I think that, I think he has a reasonable, even 50-50 kind of chance. You know, there's a nomination process for Lifetime Achievement, as the institution grows and as the awareness of the process continues to grow, more people are being nominated, there are more discussions about it. I mean, the Golf Hall of Fame, you have to keep in perspective, is only 15 years old, as opposed to baseball, which, you know, started in the late 30s. And so it's a still relatively new endeavor. So, you know, I think there's a reasonable chance.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to, even if you're just placating me.
No. We can't predict it. We can't, our crystal ball on things like that. He could very well get nominated, and there'd be a groundswell of support. And, you know.
Okay. All right. Because the Lifetime Achievement category, those members are chosen by the Hall of Fame's board of directors.
Ultimately, that's right. That is it's a selection by the board of directors.
So nobody can really vote on that. We'd have to lobby the board. I want their names.
Well, it's very public knowledge. Just go on our website. You can find
them. I'm being such a hard one. Okay, you are such a good sport. You're wonderful to talk with. I really enjoy your conversation. So where do you recommend staying when you go to the to Marion? I understand that, you know, it's really crowded. It's difficult to find lodging. Did you find a nice place to stay?
Well, we're staying at the Crown Plaza, which, again, is probably a half hour, 40 minutes from the golf course. But, you know, it's the greater Philadelphia area, so there's a lot of different choices of hotels.
Okay. All right.
You know, it's a very, very populous area.
Okay. And you've never been. I'd love to get your take on it, because there's been so much talk in the media about it not being big enough to hold something like this, you know. And then I look at the, and then they say it's not long enough to challenge the players of today. And the first par five is 556 yards. What do they want?
It would seem long enough.
Yeah, that seems like, pretty long, uh-huh.
Yep.
And then there's that avenue right on the right side, Ardmore, I think it's called, you know,
yep.
Wow. You know, it's just going to be, it's going to be a lot of fun.
It will be.
Jack Peters.
It'll be a U.S. Open. You can't predict it.
No, you can't predict it. And that's the fun of it. And that's the fun of talking it up before the event. So who are you picking?
I actually like Webb Simpson, and I also think Brent Snedeker is playing really well these days.
Huh. Even with Brent Snedeker getting those, you know, injecting himself so his ribs will get stronger?
I can't comment on that. I don't know about that. But I just think he's a solid player. And if he's healthy, I mean, obviously, if he's feeling good, you know, I think he'll be a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, you know, what, you don't think Tiger Woods will, you know, everybody's like, you know, Tiger Woods.
Well, no, I mean, Tiger's the easy pick.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yes,
but,
exactly.
You know, if you take Tiger out of the mix, you know, I like a couple of the younger guys.
Yeah, and which is there a an event? There's the LPGA Championship. That's the second major of the year underway right now, Wegmans. And then we have the PGA Tour playing and the Champions Tour. They've got their championship going on, another major. Which one are you going to tune into?
I will probably flip back and forth between all three, to be honest.
Yeah, me too.
you know, it's a lot of good golf. It's a great weekend.
Isn't it? And then we've got the U.S. Open. It's just a whole summer of fun. And thank you for being on the show. You were a lot of fun. Senior Vice President, Chief Operating Officer, World Golf Hall of Fame, Jack Peter. Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be back right after this. We're going to do some cardio golf. That's right, with Karen Palacios Jensen. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
And we'll have none of that. There will be no thunder and lightning. No, sir. We're going to have mostly sunny skies, scattered showers, mainly this morning, over the Windward and Mauka sections. Mauka, that means mountains. Windward is where the wind is blowing toward, usually where that's the windward side. And then there's the leeward side, which is usually a bit drier than the windward side. The winds are going to be out of the east, and trades 10 to 20 miles per hour. So it's going to be locally breezy. It's going to be a great day to play a round of golf. Let's see. At Poipu, by the way, tomorrow for Father's Day, the sale starts 30% off. So if Dad's a golfer, and you know what? We just happened to have a round of golf at Poipu Bay for Dad's Day to give away. And, yes, tailor-made rocket balls. All right? All you have to be is the ninth caller. You just call 808-296-5467. And if you're the ninth caller, you win. There's no qualifying. We did that for our flyaway. I'm so excited that we gave away that trip for two to San Francisco on Hawaiian Airlines. But at Poipu Bay, you could play at 11:20 or 12:30 or 1:20. And remember, they've got that couples special just for you, and you won't be paired together. It'll just be you and your favorite person, a couples special. And then we've got at Ko'olina at 12:32. And at, did I mention that the Mixed Nuts are playing a Kapolei? I just really like that group. Ala Makana is playing at the Royal Hawaiian Country Club. They're sold out, but may you all hit the sweet spot every time. All right. Plus, there's a demo day. Go to the demo day. Go. TaylorMade's going to be there. I know that for sure. Lele Hua is on Oahu, and happy birthday, Lou Merkel. And Pukalani on Maui, and they're both from 10 until 2. Okay, so that's demo day. So we've taken care of the clubs. Now what about your body? Oh, right. You got to be in shape to play the game. Huh? Never used to be like that, right? You just kind of went out and hit the ball. Well, if you're going to play 9 holes, or you're going to play 18 holes. 18 holes is a lot of golf to play if you haven't played in a long while, or if you don't play regularly. That's why time for 9 is great. And I don't understand the resistance to 9 holes at all. I find it fascinating. I got a tweet from one group of people that their 9-hole project is on hold because of the resistance to 9-hole courses. Makes no sense to me. 9 is perfect. All right. Get off your soapbox, Danielle. Karen Palacios Jansen, creator of Cardio Golf, a golf fitness program, a Golf Digest top 50 golf teacher, and a golf writer, is standing by. Welcome to the show. It's good to meet you again over the phone, Karen, because seeing you in person at the Masters was wonderful.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me. Yeah, it was so great to finally meet you in person. I feel like I know you because I, you know, listen to you all the time, and we are Facebook friends. So I feel like I know you, and when I met you in person, it was like we were old friends.
Exactly, and we were so busy. I mean, the Masters was fun, but there's so much going on, and you only have a few minutes, you know, before the dinner. Because after dinner, everybody goes off to do their own thing. So you only got like an hour to say hello, 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 hello. And then everybody has to go sit down and have dinner, and the awards are given out, and it's marvelous. And then everybody flies away.
Right.
I figured that out. That was my first time, so now I know the process. This is great. When I was reading online about discover a unique and simple program to improve your swing and shape up your body and trim your handicap, it's like you're putting together the person's shape with this cardio program and then getting them in shape for golf. Tell us about it.
Well, Daniel, you know that we all know that we need to exercise anyway for better health. I mean, you know, you've been living under a rock if you don't know that you need to do some exercise to prevent disease and obesity and just, you know, for general health. So what I've done is I've kind of taken some fitness and put it together with golf practice so you can kill two birds with one stone and get into shape and practice your golf at the same time. So, you know, we don't have a lot of time to go exercise, let alone practice, so I combine the two together into a nice, neat little program. And it started out as a class that I would teach, you know, you come a fitness class. And now I have actually expanded it to be something that people can do online. So starting at the end of this month, I have a 30-day challenge that people can take. So what you do is you sign up, and it's all online. You can do this in the privacy of your own home. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't need a lot of equipment. And you get a workout every day for 30 days. So it's you get your exercise in specific to golf. So you can get some practice. You get your exercise. You get your strength and flexibility. And you work on your swing all at the same time.
Okay, and this is at kpjgolf.com.
Correct. Right.
Shape up your swing, trim your score with cardio golf. Better golf requires getting physically and fit, of course. And cardio golf, not only, I guess with cardio, not only are you working on the muscles, but you're working on stamina Am I getting that right?
Absolutely. You know, all the cardio golf exercises that I've developed are based on a fundamental golf position and the sequence of motion that you do in the golf swing. So using minimal equipment such as a golf club, some light hand weights, maybe a medicine ball, some bands, I've developed these exercises so you can, you know, work on your core strength, on your flexibility, on your muscular endurance, but at the same time do golf-specific exercises and drills to work on your swing. So everything that you do in this 30-day program that I've developed is you start by stretching out your muscles, because you can't just start working out and lifting weights. You have to actually balance your muscles out. Then we work on our cardiovascular and muscular endurance, and that helps us be able to play 18 holes without getting tired. It helps us just have more stamina. And then we go and we work on our core strength, which we all know is really important for life, let alone the golf swing. Your core strength really is the muscles between your neck and your hips, and that helps protect our back. It just helps us with better posture. It just helps in everyday life, picking up things, lunging, you know, just as in the golf swing. And then we work on our speed because, again, you can't just start to work on swinging the club faster, get club head speed, if you don't have the combination of the flexibility and endurance. So that's what some people have to know. You have to, if you're going to just start a golf fitness program, you have to do it in the right sequence.
And to improve your strength, your flexibility, your endurance, and your swing technique. That's why everything is golf specific. And so I want to talk about keeping your lead arm extended. I've been sharing this on Facebook and Twitter. Mm-hmm. That one of the exercises that you suggest, that there are several factors that contribute to the extended lead arm at the top of the swing, simply concentrating on making a good shoulder turn, working on getting more flexible in your shoulders, back and arms will keep you keep that arm straight. Can we go through this exercise?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, it's not like you need to keep your lead arm, and I'm talking about the left arm if you're a right-handed player. You don't need to keep it ramrod straight, but if you look at most professional golfers, they keep it nice and extended. In fact, if you imagine Ernie Els, he's one of the best at keeping that arm super extended. And what that does is that helps you create width at the top of your swing. You can imagine if you swing back and you bend your elbows or swing your arms back very close to your body, you have a very narrow swing. So when you have a narrow swing on your backswing, then you're going to throw the club from the outside arm, the downswing. If you have a nice, wide backswing, then it's easier for you to hold the angle and create speed. So you don't need to keep it straight, but you definitely need to keep it extended. Now, what happens is if you're not flexible in your shoulders, then something has to give. Your elbows usually end up bending. So you need to make sure that your shoulders, your lats, the back of your shoulders, your deltoids, all the muscles in your back are nice and are loose so that you can make a good turn and keep that arm straight, because if you can't make a good turn, then, again, you know, your arms are going to bend to get the club to the top. So this exercise, it's super easy. It's something you can do every day. You hold out your lead arm straight, and then you take your opposite hand and you put your hand on your wrist.
Okay.
And what you do is you get into your golf posture and you physically pull your arm across and keep it straight. Take that right hand and pull that left arm straight, and you'll feel that extension. You'll feel your shoulder, your tricep, your bicep, your lat stretching. And so you hold it for a few minutes, and then you relax, and then maybe do that a few times. And then, Danielle, you want to make sure that you do that on the opposite arm, too, just to keep your muscles balanced. But, you know, this is one of the simple exercises that you can do every day to help stretch you out while you practice your golf swing motion. So if you practice, you know, keeping your arm straight without a club, it'll be a lot easier to do it when you have a club in your hand.
Yeah, I like that. I was doing it while you were suggesting. but it's really important that you do it for the other side.
Yeah, you want to keep your muscles balanced. You know, years and years ago, they used to say, you know, if you're a right-handed golfer, you wanted to be stronger and flexible on your left side. But now they've discovered that you want your muscles balanced because you can create muscle imbalances. So if one side's tighter or stronger than the other, you can cause injury. So in golf, you want to have your muscles balanced. So whatever you do on one side, you want to make sure you do it on the other. Now, most of us are more flexible and stronger on one side, so that what you have to do is spend more time stretching and working on strength on that other side to equal it out.
There you go. Karen Palacios-Jensen, creator of Cardio Golf. We're talking with her, and she has a challenge. Her website is kpjgolf.com. KPJ, Karen Palacios-Jensen, golf.com. And it's a 30-day challenge. How much does it cost?
Well, it's the same as the price of a round of golf, $79.95, and you get 30 workouts, 30 days in a row. So, you know, if you were to come to see me personally, I charge up to $100 for an hour. So
right.
This way you get me for $79.95, you get the 30 workouts, you get to do them all. And so, Danielle, I'd like to actually challenge you to do the challenge, and then maybe you can get some of your listeners to do it. And then we can talk about it at the end.
Oh, cool. Okay, because I was thinking to myself, I should really do this.
Oh, yeah.
But, of course, I wasn't ready to make that commitment, and you've just challenged me publicly. Oh, I love this. Okay, how do I do it?
Well, I'm going to set you up with it, so we'll talk about it, and then maybe we can blog and
yes.
do some promotion together. But the reason we chose 30 days is because studies show that 30 days is the amount of time that it is to establish a habit. So if you get in the habit of doing something every day for 30 days, then it'll keep going. So after the program, you'll still want to continue and maybe do the program backwards or go to a different level and or lift, you know, heavier weights or do or more. So 30 days is a great way to start. And if you've never done a program, this is something to get you into it.
I love it. If you've ever seen Karen Palacios-Jensen on Golf Channel, I see you sometimes during morning drive when you're doing teaching lessons, you know, you're showing, and your posture is so perfect.
Oh, well, thank you.
And that's, you know, people don't understand that, you know, your back muscles are important, but it's like you were talking about, it's the core muscles that keep your back up strong, mm-hmm. right?
Right. You know, and we're all aging, so, you know, unless we do something to prevent that, we're going to get hunched over and weak. And tight, so I refuse to let that happen, and so I'm going to fight it all the way.
Well, yeah, because you don't want to be, you know, yeah, we don't want that. We don't want that rounded shoulder look. You want to stand up straight and strong, and not you, but you've got to have strong, as you mentioned, from the neck to the hips. In the front of your body has to be strong, and that phrase of putting your back into it, you don't want to do that. You want to put your core into
exactly.
it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I don't know where that putting your back into it phrase came from, but it's completely misleading. Can we talk as an LPGA, I'm thinking as a golf instructor. Are you a member of the LPGA?
I am, yes, I'm a member of the LPGA. In fact, tomorrow I'm going to Kiawah Island, and a bunch of us are doing a girls' golf school. We have a program called the Girls Golf Club, and it's sort of the equivalent of the LPGA's first tee.
Oh.
And we're going to teach about 80 girls. So we're really excited about this program. We're trying to do a lot to promote girls golf, you know, golf in general. But girls sometimes get left behind, so we're kind of mentoring these little girls and going to help them get into the game and hopefully play for the rest of their life.
Oh, I love it, because I was talking with John Huggin earlier at the beginning of the show.
Oh, I love him.
Isn't he great?
Yeah,
he's such a wonderful man. And we were talking, he has a 20-year-old daughter. She's got a great swing, but she had no place to play in the UK. Not that she had no place to play. See, he said, well, there was lots of places to play, but she wasn't welcome. I said, well, for a woman, that's the same thing.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you're not welcome someplace, you're not going to go. And that's one of the things that golf's got to get. You know, if you want women to get into the game, then women have to feel like they're invited, and not just invited as, you know, we're tolerating, we're putting up with those, these girls are coming and be nice to them. You have to feel like it's a place where you can just sit down and be comfortable.
Exactly. And the other thing, a lot of times women, especially business women, stay out of like pro-ams and tournaments because they think they're not good enough. Well, I'm here to tell you that most of the guys are not good enough to be playing, but they think they are. So, ladies, you guys need to step up and start playing, too, because you're just as good as they are.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. I mean, it's so important. Guys that play in pro-ams, they're awful. No, sorry, guys. I don't mean this. It's not you. But there are a lot of guys that are just awful. But that doesn't stop them from doing it.
Exactly. And if you keep up and you know how to play the game, you can play with anybody. You know, as long as you're keeping up and you're being courteous and you're having a good time, I enjoy to play with all sorts of people. And I think that's what happens with ladies. They're like, oh, I'm not good enough.
Yeah,
well,
say that to
all of them. You're not going to get good enough if you don't try.
If you don't, but then they say, well, you know, there's no place where I can go safely and do it. And there are. There are places that you can go safely and do it. We're going to, I need to do a station ID, and I need to do a commercial break. Can you stay for about 5-6 more minutes?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to give you, I just like to go over a little bit about how things are going at Wegmans LPGA Championship, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure.
Great. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
The Acura RLX is a beautiful sedan, and now there's the Acura 2014 MDX, a family wagon. The 2014 Acura MDX is just out. It is lighter, stronger, quicker, more fuel efficient. The MDX Premium Grade 7 passenger wagon featuring a more subtle ride and lighter steering, more aerodynamic, more room inside, more fuel efficient, and of course with special Acura leasing and financing available upon approved credit. You can have one. It's the Acura 2014 MDX. For years, the term all new has been abused and incorrectly applied in the lexicon of automotive jargon. This is from wheelbasemedia.com. I have not seen this car yet, but they say this is exactly the right term. All new, the 2014 Acura MDX. Premium grade 7 passenger wagon shares nothing with its predecessor, breaks new ground in content, technology, and fuel efficiency. You got to see it at Acura of Honolulu. That's 777 Ala Moana Boulevard.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
We are KPUA Hilo, KGU, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo, and Russ of Kahului. You have won the round of golf at Poipu Bay Golf Course and the TaylorMade Rocket Balls for Father's Day. Now, if you're not a dad, give it to your dad or, you know, keep it for yourself. It's completely up to you, but this is a Father's Day celebration. And speaking of state high school champion and U.S. Women's Open qualifier, almost 15-year-old Marielle Galliano earned medalist honors in the 37th U.S. Women's Amateur Public Links. Christina Merkel, it's her dad's birthday today, she was second, also qualifying Jihai Lee, Nani Yanagi, Emi Koga, and Alice Kim, Nicole Sakamoto, 12-year-old Annika Suimanutafa, and Irish Kawada. They all qualified but declined spots. Trevor Kua qualified for the 2013 Junior World Golf Tournament in San Diego. Iolani graduate David Fink, named the Division I Ping All-Region West team by the Golf Coaches Association of America, and Fink, who's a junior at Oregon State, also earned Pac-12 All-Academic Honorable Mention. Former Hawaii High School champ Alex Ching, he finished 11th at the Dominican Republic. This is the PGA Tour's Latin America circuit. So if you're wondering where Alex was, he's playing on the Latin America circuit, of course, and the top money earners. I think it's top five they get a card on the web.com, then they move up to the PGA Tour, and everybody's moving and having a good time. Now, we're talking with Karen Palacios Jensen. She's got Cardio Golf. It's a great 30-day program at kpjgolf.com. You sign up, you do it for 30 days, you get used to doing it for 30 days. It's all golf specific. Karen, this isn't like exhausting exercise, is it?
You know, what you can do is you can choose what level to do. I have three levels, a par, birdie, and eagle. So if you're beginning, then what you do is you do the par level, and it's about 10, 15 minutes a day, enough to get to, you know, into the swing of things, no pun intended. And then if you're a little bit more advanced, you want to try to push yourself, then you do the birdie level. And then if you're more advanced, then you do the eagle level to kind of really challenge yourself. So it's not to get you exhausted. The idea is to stretch out and strengthen the specific muscles that you that are for golf. Now, to improve your fitness, you do have to challenge yourself a little bit, but you don't need to go out and, you know, do a million burpees and, you know, come off sweating. There's a lot of things that you can do during the day to help you. In fact, I encourage people to rather exercise 10, 15 minutes at a time, like in the morning, then in the afternoon, and in the evening, to help kind of break up the day. You can do that and still get the same benefits of as you would if you were to go like a whole hour or hour and a half.
Right. In fact, it might be better for you to break it up during the day, especially if you have a sedentary work, you know, situation where you're constantly sitting down. It's really important to get up, stretch, move, get the blood flowing. Your brain actually appreciates that a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's kpjgolf.com, kpjgolf.com, Karen Palacios Jensen. Now, PGA, we've got lots going on the PGA Tour, and they get a lot of focus. Let's go to the LPGA.
Yes.
Morgan Pressel, Chella Choi, Sarah Jane Smith, Jie Shin, Amy Yang, Brittany Lincecum, Angela Stanford, Chie Arimura, Mi Chung Hoor, Jessica Korda, Suri Pak, Inbi Park, Laura Davies, Michelle Wee, Shen Shen Feng. We've got this. Is this international leaderboard?
Yeah, I know. If you look at the LPGA site, they have a little flag, and it looks like the United Nations.
It does. It really does. Exciting. Yeah. Interesting to see Morgan Pressel.
You know, she is one of those ladies that just has that kind of game that sets up for the golf course that they're on. You know, it's tight. You need to hit a lot of greens. And she is just a solid ball striker. She's not super long, but she stopped at 68 in the first round. Now, it'll be interesting. They still have to play 36 holes tomorrow, so it'll be interesting to see who are the fit ones that can last that long. You know, I think the cream will really come up to the top when we see tomorrow and they have to play so many holes in one day.
So the question is, who's in the best shape for the 36-hole finish?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I like Jie Shin. She's in great shape. I mean, Lexi Thompson is sitting pretty right there. I mean, even some of these players that are down a little bit, Stacey Lewis.
Yes.
And Suzanne Pedersen. Yeah, and Suzanne Pedersen and Christy Kerr. You know, these ladies are veterans at playing lots of holes. Christy Kerr is a great match player, so she can take the long road and play a lot. So there are still some of these ladies that are down here, you know, tied for 30th, 40th. That could shoot up in 118 hole round and be up in the lead.
It'll be interesting to see if the rain comes back.
Oh, I know. Isn't it so frustrating?
Yes.
You know, it disappoints me because this is a major, and, you know, we've got great TV time, and then it's raining, and there's nothing going on. And so that disappoints me for an LPGA major that this happens. But what can you do?
You can't. I mean, it's impossible. We don't have indoor golf.
Right.
But it was Bermuda. Rained out, right?
Yes.
And then it was incredibly windy last weekend, and now this major, and all of these things happening when the U.S. audience can watch.
I know.
It's amazing. What do you think of, you know, Michelle Wee? It was great to see her come back from a 76 to shoot a 68.
Yeah, it's amazing. I don't know how she putts the way she does with her bent over so far, but it seems I mean, since she's been putting this way, she seems to have some good rounds here and there. So, you know, obviously something's working. Sometimes doing something weird like that just kind of gets your, you know, gets you going, and maybe she can go back and then putt normal. I think in the long run, she might want to revisit her technique.
Right. And what I heard Lee Trevino talking about is he watched himself playing back in 71. And then he went back and tried his putting style from then and was amazed at how good it was. Mm-hmm. And he had made all these changes over the years. I wish Michelle would go back and watch some when she was 14.
Yeah, right. You know, that's a really good point.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
A lot less thinking going on.
Karen Palacios Jensen, thanks. It's a great. We're going to talk. I'm going to take the challenge. I'm taking the challenge.
Yes. I'm going to challenge all your listeners. We'll do it 30 days together. And
yes.
We'll talk about it.
In 30 days.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes. KPJGolf.com. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Awesome. We'll be back right after this. We're going to go to the Kukiu. That is a golf course that we can't play. We're going to talk to a guy who is so lucky. His name is Sean Stiley. He is a master PGA professional, one of the new class. He is the head golf professional at Kukiu Golf and Beach Club, Kailua Kona. You've heard about that course. It's awesome. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
The Acura RLX is a beautiful sedan. And now there's the Acura 2014 MDX, a family wagon. The 2014 Acura MDX is just out. It is lighter, stronger, quicker, more fuel efficient. The MDX Premium Grade 7 passenger wagon featuring a more subtle ride and lighter steering, more aerodynamic, more room inside, more fuel efficient, and, of course, with special Acura leasing and financing available upon approved credit, you can have one. It's the Acura 2014 MDX. For years, the term all new has been abused and incorrectly applied in the lexicon of automotive jargon. This is from wheelbasemedia.com. I have not seen this car yet, but they say this is exactly the right term. All new, the 2014 Acura MDX. Premium grade 7 passenger wagon shares nothing with its predecessor, breaks new ground in content, technology, and fuel efficiency. You got to see it at Acura of Honolulu. That's 777 Ala Moana Boulevard.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
You may not know this, but there are less than 350 master PGA professionals in the United States. I think in the world. Sean Stiley, the head professional at Kukiu Golf and Beach Club in Kailua Kona, is one of them. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Thanks, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. One of the things that you guys have to do to become a master PGA professional is write a thesis. And just a little background, you know, you had two business degrees. So I was kind of curious, you started your as an assistant golf professional at the University of Idaho. What was your thesis to get your master PGA professional title?
It was actually on Kukiu. It was kind of a five-year kind of projection on where, you know, as you know, for those who don't know Kukiu, it's a private golf club on the Big Island of Hawaii. It's a superior golf club. I'm pretty fortunate to be where I'm at. But you can always strive to be better. So it was kind of a thesis on where we were and where I wanted to take the club, you know, throughout the life cycle of how we can progress through not only teaching programs, the membership, services, amenities, and all that stuff that kind of encompasses
the golf experience.
Wow. See, now you already get, like, amazingly glowing reviews from the people who get to play there. You know, I don't know if members bring guests or you know.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I certainly don't know any members. It's a pretty exclusive group of people. But, you know, so they bring guests, and the people who go there go, wow, that is amazing. It's a very Lynx-style course, isn't it?
Not too much.
Oh.
No, it's a Fazio design. I think you're thinking of Nenea up the road.
Ah, yes.
Ours is more of a... It's a friendly golf course. It's Tom Fazio design course. You know, you can play it as far back as 7,500, or you can play it as close up as 6,300. So a lot of options, 5-tee options. But it's all about creating the experience. And I love getting people out here when I can to experience what we offer and how we go about things.
Now, how do you market Kukiel?
We really don't. It's strictly word of mouth, and like I said, when we're fortunate enough to get people in the section, you know, last year we held one round of the section championship here with Mauna Kea. This year we actually hosted in May we hosted the qualifier for the U.S. Open. So we do have our doors open to, you know, people to experience it, and when they take advantage of it, they, you know, like you said, it's great to see the smiles on people's faces coming off the golf course.
I can imagine. Okay, so my point about saying that I hear all these glowing reviews is, as you said, we're great, but we can be better. Where do you see better coming from?
You know, the condition of the golf course is always spectacular. We have Pass Palom here, which, you know, kind of just has a carpet effect.
Yes.
But levels of service, you know, going above and beyond. You know, you can have range balls on the range, and you can have your carts clean, all that kind of stuff. But that's the foundation. But how do you really elevate the experience in the customer service realm? That's kind of where we set ourselves apart from a lot of places.
And never becoming complacent.
Exactly. Exactly.
Uh-huh. It's so important. You co-created the Professional Golf Management Program. Was that at the University of Idaho?
It was. Yeah, we were the 13th accredited. It's a program that's accredited by the PGA of America, where students go through and get a degree, whether it be in marketing, recreation. But alongside that, they do the education for the PGA of America. You know, golf professionals in the past, it was kind of learned by trial and error.
Uh-huh.
But the PGA really wanted to focus on, you know, having professionals come out with a good, solid foundation in education, you know, whether it be writing business plans, budgets. You know, golf's become big business nowadays. So they wanted to have them, you know, have the tools and resources to come out and really hit the ground running. You know, in these programs, you know, students have 4 or 5 internships during their stint in college, so they really have the experience and the knowledge coming out.
Sean Stiley is the Master PGA Professional, a head golf pro over at Kukio Golf and Beach Club, Kailua Kona. Have you given any thought to approaching the University of Hawaii, Hilo, I think they have a good agronomy program, to do something along the golf line? I mean, we have so many courses and so many kids who love golf but may not be good enough to be professional golfers.
And that's exactly it. That's what a lot of these programs are based on, you know. There's a small percentage of people that can make it out there on the tour.
Right.
But there's a lot of people with a passion for the game, whether it be on the teaching side, the operations side of things. I have approached the PGA about it. You know, they're kind of strategically looking at where they place their programs. I think right now they think they have 20 programs. Originally they wanted to have 40, but again, they didn't want to oversaturate the market with it as well. But, you know, having, you know, access to courses, year-round play,
mm-hmm.
Those are all, you know, and a good base. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's a big passion for golf in Hawaii, and, you know, I support that in any fashion I can.
It would be cool because you could bring Asia here.
Exactly. And the PGA is making a big push in the Asian market right now. A lot of educational seminars, and, you know, they're actually bringing a lot of the PGA, you know, higher ups over there quite a bit to educate them on how the PGA became so big and so successful.
Yeah, look at Greg Norman. I mean, isn't he like the advisor to the China Olympic team?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's, you know, this is going to become really serious pretty soon. In 2016, we've got the Olympics, and all of these countries want to be akamai. It's savvy. They want to know, you know, what they're supposed to know, and
Definitely.
they're going to need this kind of information that you have. Very exciting. I imagine you have some time to watch what's going on the PGA Tour side and the professional golf and what's going on. You watching any of the FedEx
before? Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Russ Henley, who won the Sony Open, was asked who was the best of his class coming out of the web.com, and he said Harris English, which I thought, wow.
Yeah,
and I've been watching Harris English for a couple of years, and he's got this really great attitude about, he doesn't have to win, he's learning.
Mm-hmm.
And here he is at the top of the leaderboard, and he's always been close, but he doesn't have the close yet. And so everybody's like, well, I don't know how he's going to do on Saturday or Sunday. You know, he doesn't know how to close. What does it take? What is the mindset that
you
close?
Know, I think the perfect example is Matt Kuchar, you know, winning the Memorial. You know, he just has a great air about him. You know, he doesn't push it. He pushes himself. He practices. I've actually had a chance to meet the gentleman. Great guy. But just the way he carries himself on a daily basis. You know, all these guys are talented out there. But it's, you know, how are they going to break through and get to the next level? You know, you just have to get hot at the right moment and then just run with it. You know, again, never be complacent in your game and what you're doing. But as long as you keep a positive attitude out there, I think that's the biggest thing that these guys have to, because they're all talented, but it's your mindset and how you approach it.
So at some point you have to put the blinders on because you're in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got all these guys and, you know, all the guy stuff that happens. It happens with girls, all the competitive stuff that goes on. And you can't, it's like, it's in roller derby, you see it. It's right in your face. Okay? But in golf, it's very subtle.
Yeah, it's a little behind the scenes. Yeah, for sure.
And some of that stuff, you don't feel it in the locker room necessarily. Everybody's buddy, buddy. But then all of a sudden you're going like, wow, I didn't know you were a snake. You know, little jabs that you didn't know were coming, and it's getting used to that and putting on those blinders and just playing your own game,
Yeah.
It's not easy to do. We could talk about it for days and understand exactly what needs to be done, but until you're like challenged when you're feeling really, really strong, and then all of a sudden somebody undermines you and your own doubt starts getting in there. That's, and then everything starts to crumble around you.
Yeah, it's how you face that adversity and how you bounce back from it.
Yeah, yeah, how you bounce back from those shots. I was watching Ian Poulter, you know, he seems to be so strong in match play, although he didn't win the last one. But see, you know, he in this Ryder Cup team atmosphere, he's such a competitor. He says, I don't know how to translate that into my own game personally. It's perplexing.
And I think every person is different in how they deal with it and how they go about it. You know, golf's such an individual game. You know, there's a lot of different swings out there, but, you know, they all have one thing in common, that impact position. There's a lot of ways to get to that final goal, for sure.
Do you teach or do you spend most of your time in the operations? I don't know. I think that's your passion, right?
Oh, no, absolutely. No, I love to teach.
Oh.
You know, that's how you develop a rapport with the membership or whoever you're with. No,
yeah.
teaching is part of what we do and how we grow the game of golf as well.
Okay. Go ahead. Growing the game is so important.
Oh, for sure, for sure. You know, not only from the youth, but, you know, it's never too late for anyone to pick up a golf club. And that's what, you know, golf's kind of an intimidating sport from I don't know, the rules, the etiquette. You know, I just don't, you know, people that haven't been on a golf course before, they get uneasy. And I think it's our job as golf professionals to kind of break down those barriers and make people feel comfortable once they step on a facility.
Exactly. The rules do scare people. And I always tell people exactly what a rules official doesn't want to hear. I said, don't worry about the rules. Listen, you know, you just worry about hitting the ball first.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, just that's enough. That's enough to have on your plate.
Mm-hmm.
Even for people who don't, you know, who don't have a chance to play very often, you may have a great day, you know, and then you'll go back and you'll go, wow, I completely lost any semblance of a swing that I thought I had. I don't know what I'm doing. So go to a golf professional and like Ready Golf. Get Ready Golf is a really good program.
And PGA's done a great job in creating programs. You know, tee it forward. You know, a lot of people don't play the right tees that they're meant to play. Then they go out there, the course is too long, the shots are too difficult. You know, then it's just grueling. It's not fun. You know, always play a tee forward until you feel comfortable with it, and then move yourself back.
I like that you, you know, when you said you could play the course, what did you say that Kukio plays? 73 to, or 60?
Yeah, yeah, we play from 75 or 6,300.
I mean, yeah, cool. When you said that, the first thing that came to my mind was tee it forward. That,
yeah.
And, or, you know, in other words, go a little bit closer to the hole, people. There's nothing wrong with that, you know, there really isn't. In fact, you'll enjoy the game, and the people who are playing with you, you know, for the most part. Can I ask you a real quick question? We're almost out of time. It's so much fun talking with you. On this time for nine, you know, trying to get more people back on the golf course, there seems to be so much resistance. I sense this resistance to people only playing nine holes. What do you think that is?
I think, you know, again, it's just a mindset where people just say, no, golf's 18 hole. But a lot of people don't have four and a half hours to commit to it. I mean, I really don't know why people resist to it.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, you can still log in a score, 2-9 holes, makes an 18, so you can still establish a handicap.
You can?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, this is a revelation to me. So
if you post 2-9 hole scores, the gin system will actually combine those two scores. For an 18-hole score.
See, people? There's ways to do this. That's why the USGA and the PGA of America are behind the time for nine. They wouldn't be if you couldn't establish a gin and do all the right things that the USGA wants you to do to be a proper golfer. And by the way, you can be a recreational golfer. You don't have to show the score. And in fact, tell me, Sean, if you're not having a really good day, is it better just to stop keeping score?
Absolutely. Enjoy the people. Enjoy your surroundings. Enjoy the people you're with, and it'll just make the game that much more enjoyable.
Exactly. There are times when I know that the people get really frustrated. It's like I'm so unhappy, and I've heard it recommended, but. You know, it's always better to hear it from a PGA professional that it's okay to stop keeping score and just have fun because, after all, we have so little time in our lives. If you're going to be on a gorgeous golf course, if you happen to be lucky enough to play at Kukio on the Big Island, then do. Oh, and can I ask an insight? I know Matt Kuchar spent some time on the Big Island. Did he play Kukio?
He did, yeah.
Did he have a good time with family?
He did. Yeah, no, he did. He enjoyed the course. You know, it's always nice to have these guys out, and, you know, they play every golf course in the world, and, you know, we still get the feedback of it's a pretty spectacular place, so it's always nice to hear that.
I'm really pleased. Thank you so much for being on the show, and congratulations.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Absolutely. I hope you'll be back on again. We can maybe talk about something specific that you'd like to broach, but I just wanted to introduce you as Master PGA Professional, Head Golf Professional at Kukio Golf and Beach Club, Sean Stiley. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle.
All right. Okay. It's almost Father's Day. Oh, Sean, are you a dad?
I am.
Oh, you are.
I'm a 6-year-old.
Oh, a 6-year-old. Oh, grand. Are they playing yet? Is it a boy or a girl?
A little boy.
A boy. Does he like the idea of golf?
He does, absolutely. But, you know, I don't force him into the game either. It's just about putting a club in his hand. You know, you can't get too technical with kids that age. Again, it's just about going out and enjoying the environment and being with him. He's out there swinging the club with dad, so.
Yeah, that's all they want.
Mm-hmm.
Again, thanks for being on the show.
No problem.
Absolutely wonderful. It's a great day in Hawaii. It's going to be a mostly sunny day. The winds are trades 10 to 20 miles per hour. We'll have a little morning rain. And if you'd like to play around at Wailea Gold, there's a 938 and a 1014. The Emerald Course has an 1126. Makaha East, a 908. Olomana has a 1028. Beautiful day on the windward side of Oahu. Thank you for making the golf club possible. We are brought to you by Acura of Honolulu, and now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. We've got a lot of traffic on Oahu, and you should ride in comfort if you're going to be stuck in traffic. The Acura RLX and the Acura RLX Advance, it's here. Go test drive an Acura RLX. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones conspired to create this stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. Yep, tee it forward, guys. Enjoy Poipu Bay Golf Course, a unique, unforgettable golf experience. We gave Russ of Kahului a round at Poipu for Father's Day. Congratulations. And there's the 30% off sale, Father's Day sale. And ladies, if you find something, there's also the 25% off the sale rack special. So you might, you know, find something. Yeah. Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment. Protection for your home, for your business, for your concert, for your special event. Like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection. It's what you need in Hawaii and California. I want to thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2013.